Today is the third Sunday of Advent. The church learned a long time ago that people need a way to get ready to come close to a mystery like the incarnation, the mystery we call Christmas. So the church set aside 4 weeks as a season of preparation. On the first Sunday of Advent, we remembered the prophets who pointed the way to Bethlehem. On the second Sunday, we remembered the Holy Family who invited us to walk the journey with them. Today, the third Sunday of Advent, we remember the angels and the shepherds. The angels brought glad tidings of great joy to the humble, fearful shepherds. The candle today is the color of roses. It reminds us of the joyful song of the angels and the joy of the shepherds as they heard about this child who would bring on earth and goodwill to all people. O Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, desire of the world, Savior of all peoples, coming and dwell among us.
Beloved in Christ, in this season of Advent, let it be our care and delight to prepare our hearts and minds for the mystery of the incarnation and the coming of our Savior, who was and is to come.
Amen.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Zephaniah. Sing out loud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart. O daughter Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Be baptized by him. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them,
Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threat or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. If you are lucky enough to still be receiving actual physical Christmas cards in the mail, I think it's a safe bet that very few of this year's selection will feature pictures of a wild-eyed John the Baptist preaching repentance by the River Jordan, or will be adorned with the message, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" This week's gospel passage emphasizes once again the countercultural, uncouth, not ready for primetime ways of our Advent prophet, John. He is haranguing people, calling them names, warning them that the axe is lying at the root of the tree and the winnowing fork is in God's hand, and that soon anything that does not bear good fruit will be thrown into unquenchable fire. And yet, at the end of what seems like a rant or even a full-on tirade, Luke calmly, almost cheerfully reports, "So with many exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." Good news, huh? Well, I do not want to know what it sounds like when John delivers bad news. But really, what shift in our perspective does it take to hear this unflinching, unfiltered call to repentance as good news? And how is any of this appropriate to listen to or think about on a Sunday when we are supposedly focused on rejoicing? To offer one possible answer, I'm going to turn to another favorite curmudgeon who usually shows up at this time of year, Ebenezer Scrooge. You probably don't need me to outline the plot of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, even if it's been years since you've read the book or seen a stage version of it. It is the ultimate tale of transformation and restoration. And in the original, it is not nearly as saccharine as you may remember it. And really, if you don't know the story at all, I hope you'll make it through this sermon, but run home and watch A Muppet's Christmas Carol and then thank me later. If anyone is in doubt that the character of Scrooge starts off as a really bad-tempered, disagreeable man, you need only be reminded of one of his early speeches, which ends with the line, "If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart." Not really a nice guy. The point in bringing up Scrooge on this third Sunday of Advent is that his transformation from a truly cross and cantankerous old miser to the loving, generous, happy soul he is revealed to be at the end of the story is not an easy path. John the Baptist warned us that all the branches that don't bear fruit will be cast into the fire. And there is quite a bit of unfruitful, unfaithful chaff that needs to be burned off from Scrooge in order for him to be able to love and be loved again. It's a painful process, even though it's one with a decidedly joyful outcome. I'm going to go out on a limb and push this comparison pretty far and suggest that Jacob Marley serves as a John the Baptist figure in A Christmas Carol. Not that he prepares the way for the Messiah, but he offers good news that at first sounds to the hearer like bad news. You'll recall that Marley was Scrooge's old business partner, and his ghost is the first one to visit Scrooge. He's bound in these horrible chains and clearly in agony. Marley says, "I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate." Yet when he tells Scrooge that the only way for him to have a different outcome than his own sorry fate is for Scrooge to be visited by three more ghosts, Scrooge replies, "I think I'd rather not." Luckily for Scrooge, the spirits show up anyway, and they are relentless truth tellers who take him into some dark place, not least in his psyche. No wonder John the Baptist uses such brutal language to talk about repentance. For someone like Scrooge, who has avoided it for such a very long time, shutting himself off from any relationship that would ask him to grow or change, it is a very difficult path. In the end, of course, the bitter medicine offered by the ghosts is exactly what Scrooge needs, and he comes away from the experience of that Christmas Eve a changed man. Or more precisely, he comes away a healed man, one who has fearlessly inventoried all his faults and failings and the many wounds he is carrying with him into the world, and found a way to make peace with it all and move forward, free from the invisible shackles that bound him. The reckoning that he had so feared and dreaded turned out to be his salvation. The process was ruthless and painful. It involved throwing some of his thoughts and habits, maybe most of them, into the fire, but there seems no doubt that it was worth it. This is precisely the reason that a call to repentance is good news. Whether it comes in the uncouth form of John the Baptist or as spectral visitors from Christmas past, present, and future. It is only through continual seasons of repentance, our own intentional efforts to turn our lives in a new direction, that we can be fully healed and made whole. And it's important to note that repentance isn't an internal spiritual thing that only touches our souls or saves us from eternal torment. Rather, it results in new behavior and ultimately in restored relationships and healthier communities. John the Baptist tells people who are learning to repent that they should live in a way that does not oppress or exploit others, even those who happen to be tax collectors or soldiers, two professions that were well known for their abuse of power. It's no wonder that Charles Dickens, who was desperately concerned about the inhuman exploitation of the poor under the industrial capitalism of his day, portrayed Scrooge as a moneylender, working in a counting house and likely responsible for foreclosing on and financially ruining numerous poor families in London. He was exactly the kind of person that John the Baptist wanted to reach with his hard good news. Dickens also emphasized that when Scrooge comes out on the other side of his transformation, he isn't just a happier, nicer person. He repairs as far as possible the harm he has done. Scrooge works on having an entirely different relationship with money, with the poor, and with his employee, as well as restoring his relationships with his family and his community. Surely this is the fruit of his repentance and healing. It is the kind of course correction that we think would cause the prophet Zephaniah to say of God's delight in his beloved children, "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival." It is hard to imagine a more delightful presentation of the great joy that follows on repentance than that in the last few pages of A Christmas Carol. It's really not just about buying a big turkey and hugging Tiny Tim. Dickens seems to positively revel in portraying the changed nature of Scrooge. He writes of a man so fluttered and so glowing with his good intentions that he laughs and cries all at once and dances through his morning routine, even while he's shaving. Before he interacts with anyone else, Scrooge says to himself, "I am as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel. I am as merry as a schoolboy. I am as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas to everybody. A Happy New Year to all the world." The man who once could not find anything merry about Christmas, who could not even stand to hear those words uttered in his presence, becomes the man who keeps it better than anyone else, knowing its true meaning and eager to spread its joy wherever he goes. This is the fruit of good repentance, the reason for his rejoicing. So what else could there be for me to add, except to say, God bless us, everyone. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of the watching, God of the waiting, be present with us.
God of the watching, May the circle of the Advent wreath remind us of your infinite love, which has no beginning or end. Help us to remember that you are with us always. Lord, in your mercy, God of the waiting, we pray for all in positions of authority in the world. We look forward to the day when the nations of the world walk in the light and your peace is experienced by all. Lord, in your mercy, God of the watching, we pray for the city of Davis and for all of Yolo County, that we may be a community of hope and light in this world. Lord, in your mercy, God of the waiting, we pray for the people of your church that you may strengthen them for the ministry you have set before them, for bishops, deacons, priests, and lay people, that all of us may heed your call on our lives and be committed to your service. Lord, in your mercy, God of the watching, God of the waiting, we pray for the sick, the friendless, and the needy, that they may experience your healing presence. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, in your mercy, God of time and eternity and the source of comfort for all who mourn, we pray for all who have died, especially those we hold in our hearts and name before you now. Lord, in your mercy, God of abundance and hope, we are challenged in our worship to set our hearts and minds on the here and now, and to remember and be thankful for all you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Hasten, O God, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we who now live by faith may with joy behold your Son at his advent in glorious majesty.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you. Good morning. You can be seated for the announcements when you're ready. I just want to, as usual, draw your attention to our yellow sheet with announcements in it and remind you that if you're not receiving a weekly email from you, to be in touch with our office, because we would love to be able to share news and updates with you and get to know you better. So for next week, I keep knocking on wood, the plan is that we will be back in the church next Sunday. Let's not count our chickens, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. And after that service, there are a few things going on. So the formation class that I've been holding will happen, but we also have the greening of the church, which will be, I think, extra special this year. So if you're able to help out with that, if you could let the office know, that would be great. And then that afternoon, we have our Blue Christmas service at 4 o'clock. We are well in, have that well in hand, and I think it will be a really excellent service. I mentioned that the Weary World Rejoices, the formation class I've been doing, is happening. That's again today after church and next Sunday after church, after this service, and it's in room 6 and 7. And if you get there before I do, don't worry. We're trying to start at 11:30, but you know, sometimes it's a few minutes one way or the other. There's lots else in here about the upcoming service schedule for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We also have a number of memorial services that are coming up in our community. Those are listed here. And there's, we always have multiple things that we kind of ask for at the end of the year. Last week, I mentioned that our Christmas flower and music offering, that's what we used to call it, was, that's where you send in a donation if you can, or even if you just want to give us a name of someone to be listed in the bulletin. It can be in Thanksgiving or in memory. And the money that you send goes to, well, I said last year it was going to, last week that it was going to go to the general fund, but it's actually going to go to the Altar Guild. We did a little assessment. We realized that that was our group most in need of those funds. So there's information about that here. Have I forgotten anything super important besides, of course, celebrations and milestones? Okay. We had one celebration sent in. Well, it's kind of a celebration and a milestone. Ethan Kwas is having a birthday this week and also got into Sonoma State. So we're very proud of Ethan. And there were a whole, yeah, you can clap. There were a bunch of other birthdays and one anniversary. Is there anyone here? Yes.
My wife's birthday is Friday.
Aw, Dan's birthday is Friday. Way in back, Tim.
Wedding anniversary today.
Wedding anniversary today. Oh, that's great. Did I see a hand in the back?
I have
birthday on the 21st. Okay, so we do have some birthdays. Yes, Deb. Chemo's birthday is Tuesday. Aw, that's probably not why you are raising your hand. Yeah. Your dog's birthday is on Friday? Aw, which one? Now you have to tell us. Oh, Fiona, okay, good. let's see, I think that's everyone. Well, so let's turn to, where is it? Page 5? Page 5. Let's turn to page 5. And we will say our celebrations and milestones prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We have the ushers in the back do have some goodie bags. So if you're new here and you want a welcome bag, you just have to raise your hand and we'll be happy to bring you one. While I'm waiting to see if anybody raises their hand, I do have one announcement I forgot. It's not in the bulletin, in the announcement sheet. But you may have noticed when you look at our Christmas Eve schedule that we have a 3 p.m. service and that is where we're having the Christmas pageant. If you have a child or grandchild or someone in your family who would like to participate in that pageant, it is very low key. There is no rehearsal because there are no lines for people to learn. So you just come at like 2:30. Come to the library, there are going to be costumes there, and you just show up and we find a costume for you, and there's somebody who will kind of be directing the young ones to when they walk forward in the pageant. If you have somebody that you know would like to be in the pageant, or if you think you can help out maybe sort of shepherding the little ones, could you be in touch with the office so that we start to get a sense of how many people might be involved? That would be really helpful. So that's 3 p.m. on Christmas Eve. We have our usual process for communion up front with one side where we intinct and the host into the wine and hand it to you, the other side where the chalice and the host are separate and you get to decide when you come forward where you would like to, which side you'd like to be on to receive communion. All are welcome to receive communion. We have all gluten-free. If you weren't here last week, everything that we're doing in this service is gluten-free. So it's the same bread for everyone. So you don't have to ask for that. If you need it, it's already what you're getting. You can come forward and cross your arms asking just for a blessing instead of communion. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and good and joyful to give you thanks, all holy God, source of life and fountain of mercy. You have filled us and all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with the faithful of every generation, we lift our voices with all creation as we sing. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and called us to dwell in your infinite love. You gave the world into our care, that we might be your faithful stewards and show forth your bountiful grace. But we failed to honor your image in one another and in ourselves. We would not see your goodness in the world around us. And so we violated your creation, abused one another, and rejected your love. Yet you never ceased to care for us and prepared the way of salvation for all people. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, and raised up prophets to renew your promise of salvation. Then, in the fullness of time, you sent your eternal word, made mortal flesh in Jesus. Born into the human family and dwelling among us, he revealed your glory. Giving himself freely to death on the cross, he triumphed over evil, opening the way of freedom and life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering his death and resurrection, we now present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your daughters and sons, that with blessed Martin and all your saints, past, present, and yet to come, we may praise your name forever. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. And now first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación
y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thank you.
Please rise. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May Christ, who gathered into one things earthly and things heavenly, fill you with his joy and peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain.
Very soon, we are going to see.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's a couple.